From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness. Welcome once again to Let the Bible Speak. Today we continue a series of studies in Paul's Epistle to the Romans, messages preached by Dr. Alan Cairns, founder of Let the Bible Speak Radio Ministries. We'll hear from Dr. Cairns shortly. First, we invite you to enjoy this devotional thought from the pen of Charles Haddon Spurgeon, found in his collection called Faith's Checkbook. Our devotional for today is called Sanctified Souls Are Satisfied. The text is found in Jeremiah chapter 31 and verse 14. My people shall be satisfied with my goodness, saith the Lord. Note the my, which comes twice. My people shall be satisfied with my goodness. The kind of people who are satisfied with God are marked out as God's own. He is pleased with them, for they are pleased in Him. They call Him their God, and He calls them His people. He is satisfied to take them for a portion, and they are satisfied with Him for their portion. There is a mutual communion of delight between God's Israel and Israel's God. These people are satisfied. This is a grand thing. Very few of the sons of men are ever satisfied, let their lot be what it may. They have swallowed the horse-leech, and it continually cries, Give! Give! Only sanctified souls are satisfied souls. God Himself must both convert us and content us. It is no wonder that the Lord's people should be satisfied with the goodness of their Lord. Here is goodness without mixture, bounty without stint, mercy without chiding, love without change, favor without reserve. If God's goodness does not satisfy us, what will? What? Are we still groaning? Surely there is a wrong desire within, if it be one which God's goodness does not satisfy. Lord, I am satisfied. Blessed be Thy name.
Oh,
If you have been blessed by the beautiful sacred music which forms a part of Let the Bible Speak, you may obtain a CD containing a sampling of these Christ-honoring selections. Entitled Our Great Redeemer's Praise, this CD will provide you with nearly an hour of such beloved pieces as Praise My Soul, the King of Heaven, Be Still, My Soul, May the Mind of Christ My Savior, and In Heavenly Love Abiding. These songs are performed by the various musical groups of Bob Jones University in Greenville, South Carolina. This CD is available free of charge to our Let the Bible Speak listeners. To obtain a copy, you may contact us by email, by telephone, or by regular mail. You may call 864-244-2408. That's 864-244-2408. You may email us at info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. Or you may write, Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Ask for your free copy of Our Great Redeemer's Praise. Call or write for your copy today. As he proceeds with these studies in the book of Romans, Dr. Cairns brings the next portion of a message called Secure in the Incomparable Love of God. The verses 5 through 11 of chapter 5 make up the text. The beginning of verse 5 tells us that hope makes not ashamed or does not disappoint. Dr. Cairns has pointed out that the reason this is true is found in the second part of the verse. Because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. It is the gift of the Holy Spirit to those who have been justified by faith in Christ, which guarantees that believers will never suffer damnation. The expression shed abroad speaks of the Holy Spirit having been poured into our hearts, demonstrating the lavishness of God's love toward us. Furthermore, the Holy Spirit witnesses of God's incomparable love to His people not just as a vast multitude, but as individuals. Also, we see that God's love is based in His unchanging character, so it is a firm love. Now Dr. Cairns continues this message, secure in the incomparable love of God.
In Ephesians 3, you've got one of the most majestic prayers in Scripture, where Paul says, I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. And he goes on to say what he's praying for, that He would grant them to be strengthened with might by God's Spirit in the inner man, that they, being rooted and grounded in faith, may be able to do what? Now he comes to it. May be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height. And he can't even finish the sentence. He has to put it in, and to know. What does he mean? comprehend. Ah, but he says, and to know the love of God which passeth knowledge. Paul, I believe, is saying, I want you to be able to go to your Bibles, and I want you to be able to trace through Scripture the breadth and length and depth and height of God's love. I want you to be able to take the text of Scripture, comprehend what the Bible's saying, but don't think you know anything yet. Do with that great theme what J. Kyle Paisley, my old English Bible professor, told me, and I will repeat this story when we get into Romans 6. As he looked across the table at me as his only student, and I couldn't miss the point, it was definitely for me. He said, young man, get on your knees with this open before you, and stay there until God burns it into your heart. Ah, that's it. Paul says, I want you to know God's love. I want it to be burned into your heart as it's burned into my heart. I want it to motivate your being. I want it to be your first thought in the morning, your last thought in the evening, your constant thought through the day. I want this to embrace you and to hold you in the arms of the eternal God. I want this to be that all-enveloping truth. Know the love of God. Oh, men and women, let me tell you, this is a wonderful, wonderful fact. And the fact is, if the Holy Spirit witnesses to me of the fact of this immeasurable, incomparable love, then my eternity is absolutely secure. C.H. Spurgeon spoke of this word, this love, this term in our text, and he said, it's not compassion, nor tenderness, nor pity, but it is love, which is something more than all these. You pity the beggar whom you could not love. You have compassion on the villain in whom you have no complacency. You look with tenderness upon sufferers who have nothing in their character or in their persons to attract your affection. But he says this text speaks of love. Listen to his words. Direct attachment and affection. Direct attachment and affection. That's the meaning of God's love for us. Oh yes, he has compassion, tender pity, loving kindness. He has all those things. But this is much more. This is divine attachment to us and our cause. This is divine affection for us. This is divine complacency in us. Delight in us. Someone has defined love as a full identification with the interests of another and a commitment to those interests. That's what we have here. This is the love of God for us. But listen, what he's saying is, the Holy Spirit's witnessing to you of God's love, that God is attached to you. How can I let you go? God has affection for you. He has delight in you. How then can you perish? Oh, here's the argument. God has given us His Spirit. His Spirit witnesses to us of the fact of God's love, but then he witnesses to us of the fullness of God's love. He has poured this love in our hearts. And I said, it's not just into as if you've got a receptacle and something filling some part of that receptacle. No, no, that's not the idea. It's speaking now of something that happened when you were saved, and it continues to be the abiding state of the soul. The witness of the fullness of God's love. This pouring speaks of abundance. There's the idea of the lavishness of God's love. That's a wonderful theme in Scripture. The idea of shedding abroad this love is that the Holy Spirit diffuses within us every kindness that the love of God can possibly provide. Do you remember what the psalmist said in the 68th Psalm, verse 19? When he spoke of the Lord who daily loadeth us with benefits. That's it. It's a lavish hand. What Paul wrote to the Ephesians in chapter 1 and verse 3. He said he had blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. All spiritual blessings. What Peter wrote in 2 Peter 1 verse 3. He hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. Paul says, all things are yours. He said, even the apostles are yours. These mighty men of God, these mighty ministers, Peter and Paul and James and John and all the rest of them, they're yours. What are they? They are ministers. What are ministers? They are servants. They are God's gifts to the church of Christ to serve that church. They are part of the lavish provision of the Lord in Jesus Christ. Now, God has given us everything that is necessary for life and godliness. If he has given us everything that Christ has purchased in the covenant of redemption, tell me, shall we yet perish despite what God's love can do for us? Surely not. The Holy Spirit witnesses of the firmness of God's love. Everything in this text is to convey the message that the love of God is steady, it's unfluctuating, it's unchangeable, and it's immovable. Not only in this text, but everywhere where the apostle expounds on the theme of the love of God in Christ. He speaks of it in terms that speak of its firmness. It has its source in God's nature, for God is love. I can quote that text. I have preached on it. But I have to tell you, I have never adequately expounded it. And neither has anybody else. God is love. This love, therefore, has its source in God's nature, but it also is in God's good pleasure, sovereign will. It has its strength in God's eternal perfection. How can you trust the love of God for your security? Because he says, I am Jehovah. I change not. Therefore, always mark the therefores of Scripture. Mark the logic of Scripture. Christians are supposed to think on the basis of great truth. And here is great truth, Malachi 3 verse 6. I am the Lord, I change not, therefore ye sons of Jacob are not consumed. Sons of Jacob? Sons of the twister? Sons of that self-centered, time-serving fraud, for that's how he started out. Yes, You sons of Jacob are secure. Why? Because the love of God has its strength in God's eternal perfections. And it has its success in His immutable purpose. The love of God must succeed because the purpose of God will stand. He has said it, Isaiah 46 and verse 10, my counsel shall stand. Now the devil doesn't like that. All the cronies of the devil in the world, they don't like that. The rulers of this earth have got together to try to overthrow the counsel of the Lord. But they can't do it. So the old tempter comes and he does the next best thing. He can't overthrow God's eternal counsel. So he tries to destroy your enjoyment in that counsel and my enjoyment in it. And so he, in some way or other, and he has a vast array of methods, he will bamboozle us. He will direct our thoughts in a foolish direction. He will overcome us with feelings of grief or sadness or disappointment or disillusionment or frustration or whatever. He'll do whatever he can to take our mind off this, that God has an eternal, immovable, absolutely certain purpose that guarantees the success of His love, that having loved us, He'll love us to the very end. Oh, I tell you, here's an argument that the Spirit witnesses for our complete assurance. And then, of course, there is the fruit of God's love. I want you to notice this. It's poured in our heart. Poured in the heart. What does that mean? It means that the Holy Ghost is not talking theory. You see, if there's one thing wrong with most of our religion nowadays, it's theory. People get great reputations because of their intellect, how they can enunciate this truth or that truth, how they can argue and how they can give you the theology and the philosophy of this, that and the other thing. Big deal. I'm saying that as somebody who spent most of his life studying theology. I love Protestant theology, Reformed theology, as long as it stays true to the Word of God. I've read theologians, well, I've read parts of them, I'd be quite honest, I get so mad with them, I throw them away, and I very rarely look at them again. And at the end of the day, when you've read all they've got to say, well, I know they know Hebrew, I know they know Greek, I know they know philosophy, I know they know theology, I know they know this and they know that, but they are like blocks of ice. I could name you some of the leading theologians of the 20th century, and in all that I've ever read in them, they have not written a word that would ever warm my heart to Christ. I want to tell you, that is plain, downright wrong. Who was a greater theologian than Paul? And yet, the fire that burns in his writing. In the Reformation period, God gave in John Calvin, he gave the church the gift, the man I believe, the greatest theologian since the days of the apostles. But when you read John Calvin, rather than his commentators, there is a fire, there is a passion, there is a love, there is a zeal, there is something that takes truth and applies it to the heart. And that's what Paul's talking about here. The Holy Ghost causes us not just to have a head knowledge, but to have a heart experience of God's love. And there's a world of difference.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak. the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may call us at 1-864-244-2408. That's 1-864-244-2408. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. This is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we Let the Bible Speak.